world now.
Yeah.
Go lead. And Draymond Green, look, we're going to get into Draymond Green because I think some of the things he said after the game was like, wow. And he's been really good after the Utah game, after last night. I think he said some great things here that I want to get into during the show. But he did a great job on Zion. But Zion, on the flip side, as well as Draymond Green played him, it's hard for me not to look at Zion saying, you haven't improved not one bit of your game since you've been in the league.
Yeah, I'm coming around on where your opinion is, where I was a little unimpressed over the two-game period. Like, I think he's going to, like, there's a couple of plays where he gets in the lane and he has really nice finishes and whatnot. But overall, for the talent he is, the hype, the name, the impact just isn't there. And there's no doubt about it. Now, you referenced Draymond Green. I was listening to watching the post game, and I was listening to Buddy Hield at the podium, and I'm sure you were tapped in because it was your show, and I was listening to how he was talking about Draymond Green, and I was thinking about, like, it reminded me a lot of the rhetoric I heard from Sam Darnold about Brock Purdy and how Brock Purdy taught him how to prepare to be a quarterback and how he thought he knew what preparing to be a quarterback was. And then being in all these like funky situations in Sam Darnold's career. And then he finally landed with the Niners and he had an opportunity to kind of like take a deep breath and just watch and learn. And obviously he learned from Kyle Shanahan as well. And I feel like Buddy Hield, similar to Wiggins prior, like, he learned a lot from coming to this situation, and now that he's here, it feels like Draymond has really, it's changed him.
Well, Draymond, and you heard the players the day before, and it kind of got lost on me a little bit. And I didn't realize it was a big impact, but you're talking about Draymond Green at halftime. Draymond Green, you know, at halftime, inspiring guys as they were coming back to beat the Pelicans. And then you hear it all these youngsters discuss Draymond Green, whether it's Kuminga or Podzimski or Trayce Jackson-Davis. And then you get Buddy Hield last night. And Buddy Hield, he has some funny lines saying, hey, man, welcome to our world, Draymond. You can shoot that three. Trust me, man, this is the Warriors. You got a clip. You got a clip, dude. You can make a three. And I, you know, me, I'm just saying, man, take 5 to 7 threes a game.
It's like been it's the just, mantra of dude, the roast it, well, for 5 years.
Well, you know, now they improved to 136-29 all time when he hits at least 2 threes. Wow. And they're 53-7 all time when he hits at least 3 threes. So when he hits at least 2 threes, they win most of the time, but here's Buddy Hield on Draymond Green's impact.
He's the heart and soul of the team. You hear people talk about it from, you know, just watching it out from the outside. But when you was like in the present with him, the way he's so vocal, the way when he talks, everybody listen. He just and everybody just follow, you know. And he just have this competitive edge, this competitive spirit, is unmatched. And you really would never get to know him unless you're in the fire with him, you know. And that's what's special. How special he is. So yeah, he might not put up 30 points, 25 points a night, but he does all the intangibles that cost to make you win a basketball game, you know, guarding Zion and holding him 5 of 20, you know, and him making, when the game's not going well, him making timely threes and making, keeping the offensive flow, you know, and that's what a winning player does, you know, and hats off to him, man. I got to see it full tilt on, like, you know, just being here, and I see how much he meant to this franchise, and he's a heck of a leader, and, you know, and everybody just follow him, so, and I still got a lot to learn from him, you know, because he has a lot of wisdom, you know, and he means well to everybody.
And I've seen a change in Draymond Green. And I thought his post-game interview with Fitz Ibuka was absolutely phenomenal, which I want to get into. But 14 points, four rebounds, 6 assists, and the 5 block shots, and excellent individual defense on Zion Williamson. And Draymond was saying, hey, don't forget about Dray when it comes to being one of the best defenders in the league. He's putting on a clinic right now. But Buddy Hield speaking the praises of Draymond Green, singing the praises of him. And Draymond Green, after the game, I'm playing this before we get down to the Lions because we got a special guest we need to talk to to get that out the way.
Okay.
But Draymond Green, how this year is different for him than last year. Take a look. This is courtesy of NBC Sports Bay Area.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, it's a fresh start. You know I coming in, I had an awful year last year. It was just not right. Didn't play well, didn't act well. And, you know, I want to, like you said, I want to show the real me. I want to show the growth. You know, I talked last year about being a champion of change, arguing referees. These guys are human. They make mistakes, and I'm trying to understand that. Such an emotional game. I play, you know, one of my best attributes is playing with my emotions. And so taking that next step and learning how to play with those emotions, but knowing where to channel those is a big important step for me and something that I'm really focusing on this year.
Champion of change. Trying to be a champion of change. taking accountability. Now, I know a lot of people are not going to be able to let the past go, but me personally, I'm a guy that tries to move forward. I try to look forward and say, okay, how do you learn from your mistakes? How do you take accountability? Are you able to take accountability? And the fact that he's out here saying that it's a champion to change. I know I need to do better. I need to be right. I cost this basically last season. I was not good. I think he was good defensively on the court last year. Thought he had one of his better years in recent memory, but it got all overshadowed due to the suspensions and due to the injuries and everything that happened. So, you know what? Champion of change. I respect that. And I think in these post-game pressers, whether it's Friday night in Utah, hell, whether it was training camp, I remember talking to Steiny about this a few weeks ago. He's like, man, Draymond Green was incredible on the podium or on the mic out there in Hawaii. This is a start. We are seeing a different guy, and we're seeing a different team to start the season. And so this could go a long way, man. This could go a long way during the season to where the Warriors try to get a top six seed in the Western Conference. I thought those words were very, very well said by Draymond Green, man. That was awesome.
Yeah, it feels like the closest to, and not contrition isn't the right word, but the most self-aware I've heard him. In terms of like, yeah, you know, it was on, off the court, like him acknowledging those things, because normally he's very defiant regarding it, and I'm in complete control. I'm just going like, just the feeling I get from him normally. That is as sincere and as honest of a reflection as you're going to get from someone like Draymond. And I think it was very powerful. That's a great soundbite right there. I don't think we can play that enough.
No, we're going to play it all day long. I was like, wow. Bully was wow. Fezzi was wow. Everybody. I mean, it was unreal. And then, you know, you hear him at the podium and me saying, look, I got defensive goals. I want to get back to being that defensive player that I was. Last year, I didn't qualify for things, but he was talking about listening about Chet and Wimby all summer long. It's like, hey, don't forget about me. And you know what? Yesterday was a defensive clinic. That was his game yesterday. And the game that was, look, it was sloppy at times. Now, the Warriors, I think, did a great job in the second half, only two turnovers when they committed 12 in the first half. And look, it's a back-to-back. Legs are probably a little tired. You don't have a lot of firepower with Stephen Curry and Andrew Wiggins. You got to find a way to win those games. And the three-point shots, they didn't get them up as rapidly as they have during the first four games. But you know what? You bake these wins, and you see him have a very solid all-around game. It kind of sits in the moment of saying, hey, this is a game maybe I need to be a little more aggressive offensively. I think we saw that from 23.
He hit a couple layups. He had the two top of the key threes. He had the corner three. Like, that's all we want. It's like, dude, if they're going to lay off you, like, you have to just rip it. You know, you just got to take that shot. You know, I was watching that game, and I thought they did a great job adjusting, because clearly New Orleans was like, we're going to try to run you off the three-point line. Mm-hmm. And I thought the Warriors did a great job of cutting backdoor, sharing the ball backdoor, going to the rim. How many times did they use the over-pursuit by New Orleans against them?
Oh, yeah, all day long.
And I thought TJD, who we haven't even, I mean.
Yeah, we'll get to TJD.
TJD was really good. And they got him the ball early in the game, which I thought was really smart. Just get him feeling good about himself. And I love where this team is at in terms of connectivity. I know Buddy Hield, like I'm kind of like tongue-in-cheek with it, because it's not sustainable what he's been doing. He's been really awesome. But boy, his vibes. I'm not trying to do the Mark Canha thing when it comes to the vibes, but clearly he's a very infectious individual. Yeah. In the same way that, like, when I talk about Pablo Sandoval, it's not just the player. Like, Pablo brings so much to the dugout that everybody loved, and it was like, you just want that guy around you? It's like, dude, something about Buddy Hield, this team is like, they got a little bounce.
We got a little
and
bounce.
Buddy's playing well.
He's playing well. 8 of 19 yesterday. He wasn't the most efficient, but he got his shots up, and he scored 21 points, and it was some timely shots that he made. And I got to mention Brandon Podziemski, who, you know, there was a lot of talk about him, a lot of rhetoric about Brandon Podziemski, about who he is, whether or not he's overrated, whether or not he's underrated. Here's what I know about Pods. He's a winning player. He's a winning player. He's going to score 30? Probably not. He's going to drop 15 dimes? Probably not, but he's going to get you 8. He's going to rebound the basketball. He's going to put his nose into everything. He's going to be pesky. He's going to be annoying. He's going to pick you up full court. He's going to put the team in the right sets offensively. He's going to cut. He's going to pass. Brandon Podziemski is a winning player. So I don't care what, he played 38 minutes and 6 seconds last night, led the team in minutes. He's been a good stabilizer for the first unit, for the starters, for the first 5, for the second 5. Brendan Podziemski, TJD, Buddy Hield, this thing is all coming together. Now, we're going to see how the barometer is set for this five-game road trip. This is a monster, monster trip. And I don't even care about the record on this road trip, per se, Shasky. Sure, I want them to win a lot of games.
Yeah.
But how do they stack up against the Bostons, against the Clevelands, against the OKCs early in the season? It's going to be a nice little barometer for them. So I'm really eager for them to take their show on the road and really eager to see how they come out of it.
Dare I say a litmus test?
It's a litmus test.
Jonathan Kuminga had a couple of really savvy moves on Brandon Ingram in particular. The little, like, hezzy under. And then he had one where he was in the block, and he likes to do that fadeaway from time to time on the left block.
Yeah.
He, like, swept the ball under, got the and one.
Yep.
And then I'm listening to him. I think it was Kareth Burke in the postgame. And he's like, it doesn't matter. Like, I don't care if I start or not. You know. And it was like, Jonathan, you are saying all the right things.
He said that the night before, and everybody, you know, Shams Charania, what a clown move by ESPN and Shams Charania. You know, and I respect the hell out of Shams Charania. I respect what he does. But the graphic, benched as if he was out of the rotation.
Like he was Anthony Richardson.
And yeah, basically. And the misleading headline there. And then the rhetoric that came around was like, yeah, they should have traded him on. Look, he's moping. He's doing this and that. How Kuminga has responded to the last two nights has shown me growth and maturity. Same thing happened in January when everything happened against the Denver Nuggets and they come back and win that game with a 25-4 run and Jokic hits the shot. And we're thinking, what the hell's going on here? And Kuminga doesn't play the final 18 minutes. And then they say, you know, you hear the reports, he wants out. He doesn't trust Steve Kerr. Well, they have the meeting the next day. And Kuminga then averages 20 for the rest of the season. And he responded very well. This kid, you know, I don't get the rhetoric around Jonathan Kuminga. I don't know why people don't like this kid. This kid is endearing. He's nice. I've had multiple conversations with this guy. I have multiple conversations with his people. He's articulate. He's smart as hell. He's learning the game. He's getting better and better by the day. I'm so happy for him to come back and respond in back-to-back nights, taking the assignment to Brandon Ingram, mm-hmm. saying, I'm going to check you, Brandon Ingram. But what did Brandon Ingram do last night? A quiet 14?
Well, the New Orleans is such a... They're an odd team. They have a lot of pieces I like, and yet they don't play basketball well together.
No.
That's how I would like summarize them.
It's like 101 all day long. It's weird.
It's a very old OKC vibe. Your turn, my turn.
Yeah.
And, you know, they don't play that. And maybe DeJounte changes things as a point guard and it's more connected. It doesn't fit. Conversely, like watching Brandon Podziemski and Draymond Green push the ball after misses, after made baskets, their pace of play and the ball hopping, like they are playing a brand of basketball that I find to be thoroughly enjoyable.
33 assists last night in a game that was fairly low scoring by today's NBA standards, 104-89, but all four victories coming by at least 15 points so far. But the competition ramps up here on a road trip. All right, let's get my guy out the way. I'm going to come out and say it. He's a truck driver, but the fact that he's calling this morning tells me that he's a definition of a front runner, which doesn't surprise me because most Laker fans and Dodger fans are front runners. Ronan Hayward, I've been waiting on you. And now you call. Go ahead and gloat.
You got Warrior thoughts?
Go ahead and gloat because, I've been calling you out for like 6 months now. You haven't, I was like, man, what happened to Ron? Did he move?
No, man, I'm here. What's happening?
You tell me, Rod. You got some time. You tell me, big truck driver.
You know why I'm calling. Look here, I don't want to hear nothing about no sorry Warriors, no sorry whiners. I'm calling to talk about my iconic Jackie Robinson Dodger Blue World Champions, baby. How we spanked the Spankies. We spanked the Spankies in their own park. We was down 5. We came back and annihilated them. They didn't know what hit them.
You know, Ron, I'm close to flushing you because you keep bragging here, but I'm going to give you one more opportunity here. Give me one more opportunity. I'm getting close to flushing. You know I like you, Ron.
Right on, man. I ain't heard from you since your boy next to you hung up on me at the first part of the season because he could dish it up, but he can't take it.
Oh, yeah. It's painful.
Guess what?
Soto, hey, look here. Look here, when Soto wants to lead the Spankers, we'll make room for him. tell Buster Posey, don't even make an attempt to get sold because he's not coming to bag booty.
You know, Ron, I'm going to make Ron, because I flushed you earlier in the year and your team won it all and you had the guts to call in. Here's what I would say to you.
That's right.
I will buy you personally two bleacher seats to go to a Giants Dodger game. All right. When they come around, I will. We'll get his number. Get his number, guys. I owe you. I'm sorry. You guys won. You're the best team in the game. You play a brand of baseball. We'll get into it. But congratulations.
All right, thank you. I appreciate that.
I'm not saying congratulations. The hell with you guys, Ron.
They deserved it.
The hell with you guys. I did watch the champagne showers and said, damn, they're going to have a lot of fun. Ron, go get some sleep. Get out of here, man. Go have fun at the parade. It's good to hear
from you. See you, buddy.
All right, that's Ron and Hayward. Dodgers did win the World Series, man. What a collapse by the Yankees, man. Not my Yankees. My Giants better do something because the Dodgers aren't going anywhere.
You're hopping off the Yankee?
Yeah, I'm hopping off the Yankee bandwagon. They had one job and one job only, and they failed it. Although, I think Spinotti and I, we were saying that I think the Dodgers would be too much. They're just too loaded. They're too loaded.
So the team that's won the most games over the last 12 years in all of baseball, they're too much?
They're too much. Yeah. Well, we picked the World Series. You picked the Yankees.
Yeah, I know. Of course. I can't pick the Dodgers.
That's all we're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you can pick the Dodgers.
No, you can't. Just,
no.
It's not in my DNA.
Well, I picked the Dodgers because they're in a better team.
Well, on the other side, you know. I do want to get into the Yankees and Dodgers.
No, well, it was a disappointing World Series. Disappointing.
Not for Fox executives. They outdrew Monday Night Football all-time records.
Well, you know what, though?
All it took was Russell Wilson versus Daniel Jones.
But you know what, though? I mean, like, to outdraw football is almost impossible. It really is.
It is Daniel Jones. Well, you had the city of New York. They're saying, Giants or Yankees? New York Giants or New York Yankees?
Don't worry, Yankees. You get to watch the Jets tonight.
Oh, boy. Jets might win that game.
Then they'll be 3-6.
Ah, the Yankees. Aaron Judge, man.
What did I do wrong?
Giants have such an uphill battle.
Oh, did I get fooled on that?
We'll get to the World Series. We'll get back into the Warriors. 888-957-9570. I'd love to hear from Warrior fans on Draymond Green. What do you think of what he said yesterday? I was very impressed with what he said at the podium and with Fitzibuki on Toyota Warriors Post Game Live. Where are you at with Draymond Green? Are you buying the leadership? Are you willing to give him another chance? Because I think the leadership is popping through the screen. He's being more aggressive. We'll get into that as well as the World Series. That's all coming up. Brought to you by Safeway Northern California Division.
Their eighth world championship with a comeback for the ages from down 5-0 to win it 7-6 in five games in this clash of the Titans.
Up Nation, it's Steve Kerr. You're listening to the Morning Roast with Monte Hill and Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game. You better hit those brakes, Monte.
I'll try, Steve. You know what? I don't think he slipped in. Did he slip into Dodgers? I don't even recall his post-game presser yesterday because Steve Kerr is a big Dodger fan, but he must be happy. He saw the Utah game when the Dodgers came back in game one. One of the fans basically blurted out, hey, Freddie Freeman hit a walk-off grand slam. Steve Kerr turned around. It was such a blowout. Steve Kerr was like, what happened? And he had a big smile on his face. Well, I'm sure he's smiling this morning because the Dodgers did rally from a 5-0 deficit. What was cool at Chase Center yesterday is they had it on a big screen. They had a split screen. Dodgers, Yankees, Warriors. So Every time there was a break, Willie and I turn around, we're like, oh, come on. And Willie's like, don't pitch to Freeman. Probably right. Next thing you know, it was 5-1. Garrett Cole's in there battling. And I'm thinking, all right, just get out this inning. Freddie Freeman, two-run single.
If you're going to pitch to Freeman, he has a hurt ankle. Stop throwing him inside. Throw him away.
Right.
Make him like work off the plate.
Well, he's had a great eye, though. He's not swinging at anything.
No, I understand that. So his eye, can't so you're let probably the same guy beat you every day for 2 weeks straight.
5-3. So it's 5-3. And then I missed it. I turned around, and it's 5-5. Well, Teoscar Hernandez, who was probably one of the more underrated signings in all of baseball, coming over from the Blue Jays, he's a baller. Baller. I believe he's a free agent after the season. He signed a one-year deal with the Dodgers. Hard for me not to see him back in Dodger blue playing in that lineup. He looked like a natural fit. He hits a double to tie the game. And thinking, damn, it's 5-5. But credit to Boone, who kept Gerrit Cole out there on the mound. And Gerrit Cole pitched with his guts out. I mean, I wish he would have kept him in game one. Maybe it's a different series. But the Yankees played small ball in the top of the eighth inning. Not even playing small ball, just playing station-to-station baseball. A couple sack flies to take the lead. And the Yankees, just in that bottom of the fifth inning, was kind of a microcosm of what went down in this World Series. Aaron Judge dropping pop-ups. Some of you guys not covering bases. Errors left and right. Ugh.
Ponte. Ugh. Aaron Judge had not had an error all year.
I know.
Okay. And on that play, you could see his eyes looking at the runner at first base. Dog, just catch the line drive. You know, it's a routine play. Look, he made a great catch at the wall earlier. He can play center field. I don't think he is a center fielder, yeah, from my particular opinion. He can play it, but he's not a center fielder. He had a really poor overall, based on the year he had, which is an historic year. The guy had 58 home runs, for crying out loud. He had a historic year and a crummy postseason, and that happens. He's not the first guy. Bonds, A-Rod. I mean, I can name tons of guys. Roger Clemens. Tons of guys who stunk it up for multiple postseasons because it's just hard. It's a small sample.
But when you do it in that uniform, ooh.
But that being said, it's not just him. When you give a team extra outs in an inning, it always comes back to bite you. When you give a team three extra outs in an inning, that's how you lose a series. And multiple gaffes by Rizzo, who is a established older player, I think he's at the end. I think Rizzo's done.
I think he's cooked.
Yeah, if I was the Yankees, I would not bring him back. And they need a third baseman, they need a second baseman, they need a first baseman, they need to retool defensively that infield. But like, Volpe throws that ball, I mean, obviously the Rizzo play, the Stanton play, Rizzo's waiting on the ball, it's a tough bouncer. Mookie has hit the ball to the right side over and over and over all series. So as a first baseman, you know, PFPs, you know, pitcher fielding practice, you have to say, hey, Gerrit, a ball hit deep, you got to get over. Like, that's, you always are reminding me. And as the pitcher, you got to get over. I watched Logan Webb this year not get over to cover first base over and over and over and over again. This is probably because teams don't practice it like they used to throughout the season. You don't do a lot of infield throughout the year. But these are routine plays, like, that you have to do at the highest level. And then I look at what the Dodgers do well. They throw strikes, which is very important, so you don't give free bases up. They don't strike out a lot, given compared to the rest of the league, right? They put the ball in play. When you put the ball in play, you put pressure on the defense to make plays. And then they run the bases really, really, really well. Whether it's Shohei, whether it's Mookie, Teoscar Hernandez is a scrappy base runner. They have so many guys who put the ball in play, play good defense, and they run well. And I'm not surprised that they won at all. They are a deserving, I hate saying this out loud, they're a deserving champion. They play a brand of baseball that every child who's around the game who wants to play the game at the high, like, they play the game the right way.
No, they did.
I hate saying it, but it's true.
Well, Yankee fans, well, sad that the Padres had them on the brink. Padres had them one game away, and then the Padres don't score. What did they? They go 18 shutout innings.
I hate
Padres
them.
Don't score two runs in two elimination games in which they could have eliminated the Dodgers. They go scoreless there in the final two games, and the Dodgers kind of walked into the World Series here. Juan Soto after the game, I'll be open to listen to every single team in free agency. I don't have any doors closed or anything like that, so I'm going to be available to all 30 teams, and let the bidding war begin for Juan Soto, who's a 26-year-old superstar. But you could tell he was angry, man. He wanted this series so damn bad. You give, like you mentioned, an extra outs, three errors yesterday. Just not clean baseball.
How game one started.
You know, with Shohei Ohtani getting the extra 90 feet from second to third base because nobody's backing up Gleyber Torres at second base. Just embarrassing stuff by the New York Yankees who got to this point. That's on Aaron Boone. That's on that coaching staff. That's on everybody to clean that up. And so, to not do that, Gerrit Cole talking about, I took a bad angle on the ball. His quote here, I wasn't sure really off the bat how hard he hit it. By the time the ball got by me, I was not in a position to cover first. Yeah, we all saw it. We all saw it in this team. The Dodgers, that, look, they spent a lot of money this offseason trying to get this World Series. I'm not going to call it a checkbook championship because you got to put it like in baseball. The best team doesn't always win. Money doesn't always buy you World Series rings. We've seen that over and over and over, but it puts you in a great position to try to win, and they took advantage of it. Walker Buehler closing the game out. He's going to be a free agent. Hard to see him not being a Dodger Blue next season. They take care of their own guys. So this team's not going anywhere. The way they approach the plate, their plate appearances, they wear you out, dude. They wear pitchers out over and over. And the fact is that Flaherty didn't even get through the second inning.
Oh, he's not
and the
good.
Yankees 5-0. They had a crazy record to throw it off Fox. It was something like they had five losses. They were like 45-5 or 45-4 or something with Stanton and Judge hits a home run in the same game. And they got that. And they got that in the same game last night. And Yankee Stadium was in a frenzy. You're thinking, boy, they're going to go back to L.A. The pressure's going to shift. In a rally from a 5-0 deficit and win that game. Damn. So now what happens with Aaron Boone? How do we feel about Dave Roberts now as manager of the Dodgers?
Have we seen the last of Clayton Kershaw?
Maybe.
The guy, I think he pitched 7 or 8 games this year. You know, like, you know, seeing him take his shirt off and he's celebrating. Look, I hate the Dodgers. I can't stand Kershaw. But there is a part of me as just a fan of baseball that's like, yeah, that guy gave a lot to the game. He gave a lot to the game, and you know, it sucks seeing him have his moment or whatever, and not being able to like contribute, you know. But I do like seeing legends of a sport get rewarded, you know. And it's just, I just hate the Dodgers, dude. They built a really good team that plays a really good brand of baseball. Mookie Betts, were he on any other team, would be so many people's favorite player in this area.
He's such a baller.
He's amazing. And then Freddie Freeman, the story that he's got with his father is an incredible story. His mother and the cancer and his own son. Like, it's an incredible story. He's a hard guy to hate. Shohei Ohtani is one of the biggest rock stars on the planet. You know, Will Smith is a great catcher who plays the game the right way. And he had a big home run in the series.
Huge home run.
You know, like, Will Smith is a great player and has been a great player for a long time. And they got all these little, like, gnats, these guys that annoy you. The Kiki Hernandezes, the Teoscar Hernandez.
Tommy Edman.
Yeah, exactly. And then you sprinkle in, you know, their pitching staff where they're just grabbing guys from all over the place. They frustrate me. And the Giants have a lot of work ahead of them.
Yeah, there's no
doubt. To come close to them.
Well, they got
to
work to catch the Diamondbacks, work to catch the Padres, and now work to catch the Dodgers. They'll celebrate with the parade Friday. And how about this? It would have been Fernando Valenzuela's 64th birthday. And they're going to have a parade on Fernando Mania's birthday. How iconic is that? So they're going to have a lot of fun in L.A. They didn't get a parade during the Mickey Mouse or in a pandemic season, I should say. And we can no longer talk about the Mickey Mouse ring or whatnot. Nah, this ring is legit. And I look at Dave Roberts, who he's been just picked apart left and right for all the Dodger playoff shortcomings. He pushed all the right buttons this postseason.
Well, I mean,
he pushed all the right buttons.
Yeah, he did. No, he did. There's no doubt.
You got to give him credit. But there's Bonte, no way.
He also didn't push the right buttons for 12 years. You know what
no,
I mean?
Like, but it happens. I mean, no, there's I a know, lot of managers who don't win. Like, could we say the same about Bobby Cox?
Bobby Cox is an all time manager. Making the decisions. Yeah. I don't know who's making the decisions.
Yeah, I think Dave Roberts has something. I'm going to give him his credit. Dave Roberts did a hell of a job. We should give him his credit. Let's not all want it.
No, I'm saying they've admitted this. The Dodgers have admitted that Andrew Friedman has a lot of impact on what pitchers are coming in, what their lineups are. Like, that is built into the script.
It's a collaboration.
No, look, they're a deserving champion, and it pains me to say it. It does. It sucks to say it. The part that's the hard part to swallow is now they've got two since our last one.
Dave Roberts, one more World Series. How does this feel? I'm going to say it. He gets one more. He ties Bruce Bochy.
Well, I mean, his overall regular season record is really good.
He's got one more ring than Bobby Cox.
But in a game, I would say I mean, this like, to you, though. But if we were playing this game, and just a bunch of guys or gals rapping about who's the best, in a must-win game, I'm not taking Dave Roberts over Bruce Bochy.
That's fine.
I don't think anyone is.
That's fine. Don't have to. But damn,
Look, he won.
He trusted Walker Buehler to close that game out. He trusted Blake Treinen. He talked about it after the game, saying Blake was like, I need this ball.
He's technically two if we're just going overall managerial, because Bochy's got four with the Rangers.
Oh, no, my bad. My bad. He's got four. He's got four with the Texas Rangers. That's a good call. They won it last season.
I mean, and he took the Padres to the World Series against the Yankees, yeah, which no people doubt. Always forget
I'm
about.
I'm not saying Dave Roberts is better than Bruce Bochy. Didn't say that at all. Didn't even remotely say that. Just a couple rings down behind him. One more read to Bobby Cox.
It was pretty crazy. They have the Red Sox comeback doc on Netflix right now, and I was actually watching that while the World Series is going on, while the Yankees were blowing that 5-0 lead.
I went to the 07 Red Sox versus Giants, first ever interleague game in Boston, and it was Dave Roberts' first appearance since the 04 season when they won it all, and obviously he had the stolen base. And Dave Roberts was the leadoff hitter Friday night. That place gave him like a 6-minute standing ovation as he got announced as the leadoff hitter. It was, as much as I can't stand the Boston fans, it was incredible to see them give him that reception.
He's a very respected man in the baseball world, no Dave doubt. Roberts. So, you know what? The Dodgers, they're on top of the baseball world. It pains me. It annoys me. It makes me sick that right now maybe the Giants just aren't close to them. And how close are the Giants?
They're not close.
How close are the Giants? We just went through 6 years of Farhan Zaidi's forgettable tenure. And they may be farther away from the Dodgers now after Farhan Zaidi than when he took the job. The whole point of him taking the job was to get closer to the Dodgers and compete. And you had the 1 year when you went to 107, but that year they won 106?
And then beat you.
And beat you in a 5-game series. So, oh, man. The Yankee fans are not going to be able to live this one down. I'm wondering what Mike Francesco was saying. Oh, man, I missed his podcast last night.
I mean, they're going to be... Let's talk about the other side.
And we're going to get to Duke. And I want to get back to the Warriors and Draymond Green, because they're 4-1 right now, and they're going to head out on the road for a 5-game road trip. All that coming up, brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of Full Service Banking with no compromises.
Dodger, Dodger, Dodger!
Bounce pass it low. Meese stripped by the hands of Kyle Anderson. Slow-mo crosses midcourt. Waits. Euro steps in. Takes the shot. It's up and good over Williamson.
Dub Nation, it's Kyle Anderson. You're listening to the Morning Roast with Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game. Take it away, Bonte.
Tim Roy on the call. That's Kyle Anderson. Now, the first college bet, like the first, well, it's not the first. But I went down to Vegas Pac-12 tournament 2013, spring of 2013, and Kyle Anderson was on that UCLA Bruins team that won the Pac-12 tournament. It was Kyle Anderson, Zach LaVine coming off the bench, Jordan Adams. Arizona had Aaron Gordon and a kid named Nick Johnson who could get up. He played with the Rockets, had a cup of coffee. DeLon Wright was on the Utah Utes. It was a fun tournament. Fun tournament. It was in Vegas, MGM Grand. People between games running up to the bookies to go play some bets, and they come back courtside. That's where I met the great Tony Jones. But he played so slow, and I was like, Tony, why does he play so slow? Is that his game? And then people were like, oh, man, that's slow-mo, that's slow-mo. And I didn't really think. I was like, all right, maybe he just plays at a slow. But no, he plays at that pace. He's really slow-mo. By the way, he's a diehard Mets fan, so I don't know if you saw him with Garrett Burke. And he basically goes, yeah, I'm happy right now. Thank God the Yankees lost. And I'm like, Kyle, this is a Giants region. Like, don't do that. But anyway, slow-mo hadn't hit a shot the night before. He was 0-9. Last night he goes 4-4, 10 points, 4 rebounds. And he's the type of player where we got to look beyond the box score. Honestly, with slow-mo, because he's going to handle the ball. He's going to get guys in the right sets. He's going to run good fast breaks. He plays at such a slow pace. It's pretty high. It's pretty fun to see. But he's a connector of so many different combinations for Steve Kerr. I think you could plug and play Kyle Anderson with so many guys on his basketball team. And that's why it makes sense. It makes sense for him to be on his roster. And, you know, one game he may play 16 minutes. One game, he may only play 4 minutes, but I do think he fits with a lot of different combinations on this roster, Shasky.
Yeah, they put together an interesting team. They really have, and it's like, you know, obviously Lindy Waters having the night that he had a couple nights ago. Like, wow. You know, he didn't, I think he had the, did he have 1-3 early in the game?
Yeah, 1-3.
Yeah, 1-3, but like.
He only took 1-3.
That was it. That was his only, yep. Wow. That was, but he made a couple nice passes.
Yep.
And so, like, it's interesting the roster they've put together. There are a lot of guys, not that they're interchangeable, but they work with various lineups. You know, Moses Moody kind of works with various lineups. I think Lindy Waters works with various lineups. Pajemski, TJD works with various lineups. Kyle Anderson, who you referenced. Buddy Hield kind of works with various lineups. GP2, who didn't play a lot last night, you know, he works with various lineups. So they've built a team that does have, I would say, what, five of those kind of like glue connector guys?
Yeah.
That can work with various other lineups. Yep. So
and he could guard bigs, too. Kyle Anderson could guard a four here and there. He could guard a three here and there. So long and lanky.
They're more active this year.
Yeah, no, they're very active.
Pajemski did like a bat, and then like, so I think it was Kyle Anderson batted it again, and right. then it made its way into Buddy Hield's hand, and he kind of pump faked. Guy went right around him, boom, and he went right to the rim.
We had a graphic yesterday about, you know, the hustle points for the Warriors. And I love these hustle stats. They're number one in deflections. We were discussing this yesterday. Number one in deflections. Here it is right here. And that was going into last night. Offensive rebounds, they were fifth in the league. Second chance points, they were fifth in the league with 20 second chance points per game. Deflections, first with 25 deflections per game. Steals, they were number one in the league. And last night, the steal numbers were down, but, you know, it was just kind of that game where the Pelicans were trying to get up shots. But they were number one in steals going into the game. Number one in fast break points. And second in turnovers forced. And so, Tuesday night, they forced 24 turnovers. Last night, they forced 15 turnovers. So they're doing all the little things. So to your point about being more active, they're so damn feisty. So damn feisty with this roster. And they get to the 50-50 balls, which they didn't get to last year. And one thing we talked about last year was blow-bys. Everybody felt like was getting blow-by last year. Well, this year, the individual defense has just gotten so much better. And I attribute that to Pajemski getting better, a year older in the league, Kuminga getting a year older, Moses Moody being in his fourth season, TJD being in the second season, you have Draymond Green there, you have the wisdom of D'Anthony Melton, Kyle Anderson's been the solid defender for the most part of his career, and Buddy Hill's defended his ass off. So I think overall, yes, right now it looks a lot better. Now the barometer comes on his five-game road trip. So I like where the Warriors are at right now. That was a good sweep of the New Orleans Pelicans, taking advantage of them being shorthanded.
One of the things with the blow-bys last year was like, how many times did they either not recover at all and give up a skip pass three that was wide open, or a crazy little skip dunk, you know?
Right.
They fouled the heck out of teams, and just bad fouls, you know, just some really poor fouls. I don't know what the numbers are saying. You might have them in front of you. Just my eyeballs telling me, I don't see a lot of the really poor fouls where you're leaving your
reaching
feet
in.
You know, you're scrambling so much that you like jump in the air to try to overcompensate. Like, they seem to be much more grounded when they're in the scatter mode.
Yep.
And that's a key. I just think they were reaching so much last year.
Now, I do want to, there's a caveat. There is. We got to keep it real.
The caveat is early.
The competition, yeah, it's early. The competition hasn't been, you know, the one game you played the Clippers, a real NBA team. You can make the case that, man, the Pelicans right now, they're not an NBA team. The Blazers, even though they beat, the Blazers actually, you know what? I'm not even going to go there. They did beat the Pels. They did beat the Pels, and they did beat the Clippers last night. I don't know. But that's why I'm eager to see, okay, where are the Warriors at? We're going to see a test on the road starting in Houston on Saturday. Let's go to Duke of San Bruno, who wants to talk a little baseball. Duke, good morning. What's happening?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call, and thanks for talking about the World Series. I watched every inning of all five games. It sucks that it didn't go to Game 7, because Game 7 World Series are the best in sports, as far as my opinion. It's hard for me to hate the Dodgers players up and down the lineup, and Shasky pretty much covered that earlier. Dave Roberts should dress up as Bruce Bochy for Halloween tonight, because I swear he must have had an earpiece in, and he was talking directly to Bruce Bochy on how to pull the levers on the pitching. I felt like I was watching Bruce Bochy. As far as like hating the Dodgers, it's the fans I don't necessarily care for, and they're only slightly better than Philly fans. So I go Philly fans and Dodgers fans in that order. But it kind of shows you where we're at as Giants fans to get to where we need to be.
I know.
Watching that. And one other thing, and you know, I got no skin in the game. I'm a big diehard old man, older demographic for you guys, Giants fan. It felt like every pitch for every single pitcher was just like stress city. Every single pitch was stress.
Mm.
And you know, one thing that we're not talking about yet is I think Trinan really saved the Dodgers bacon last night. I think he was the guy that made the difference last night, because mm-hmm. he was just peeling.
Yeah.
But hey, thanks again for talking about baseball, even though it was the Dodgers. I appreciate it.
No, I think it had a little renaissance in the postseason. The regular season is still not going to rate well nationally. That's just baseball is too slow on television during the regular season. There's too much inventory. There's no sense of urgency. But come playoff time, when you have mega stars, all right, and I think that this is the element that the NFL has. Mega stars, sense of urgency. Everyone's trying their hardest at all times, right? Like, that's the feeling that you get. And then you throw in the gambling, and it's just huge brands, right? Huge brands, whether it's the Packers or the Niners or the Cowboys, or these are huge brands. You either hate them or love them. And I think that the one thing that the Yankees and the Dodgers had, I don't even think they come close. If it's Guardians, let's just say Guardians Padres. I'm just picking those two.
Yeah.
The Padres are compelling, but I don't think it has the cachet. It's Yankees Dodgers, okay?
Yeah.
And then you look at the actual lineups. It's a who's who of the greatest players in the game. Mega star power. And it felt like, to me, legacies were on the line on both sides of it.
It was. I mean, Shohei gets his ring, and he didn't even play great in the World Series.
Yeah, but he was hurt.
But still, it was just a presence. Mookie Betts picks up his third World Series ring.
How about the play off the wall from him? It's a subtle play. Yep. He plays it off that screen or whatever. He's just
Freddie Freeman,
he's so good.
Freddie Freeman gets his second ring. Kershaw gets ring number two. Walker Buehler gets ring number two, and he closes the game yesterday. Has his best stuff. Flaherty, a reject from the Cardinals, gets traded at deadline. Even though he didn't pitch well in the World Series, he gets his ring. Although.